Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, if you haven't checked out the Golf Clearance Outlet, then you, I can guarantee you this, are missing out. And if you have, well, you know what we're talking about. Great time to drop in because with all the new equipment released in January, good old Sam at the Golf Clearance Outlet is licking his lips because the stores are chock full of 2023 branded clearance product. And you know, that was a hell of a year for golf equipment, Nick.
You're spot on there, Mark. There's heaps of gear for righties, of course, but as you know, I am a lefty, so there's a heap of gear for lefties as well, and plenty for both men and women. And if you're after a great Prezi idea, you can get gift cards in-store or online.
So if you're looking for great golf gear and great prices, the Golf Clearance Outlet needs to be in your plans to go and check it out. See the team in-store at Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Perth, or online, golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. It's that simple, Nick.
Can't wait.
Hang on, Nick. I thought you were righty putting now.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
It's week 46 of the golfing calendar and just over a week until the Australian Open hits Sydney. But before we hook into the show, a massive thanks to our mates at Ping. They will help you play your best. You can get a Ping club fitting from your local golf shop or pro. Can't recommend it enough. And the Golf Clearance Outlet. Their Black November sale continues with new deals added daily, in-store if you're near one, or online at golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. Feeling nearly as excited as David Michaluzzi, this is Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen. Talk birdie to me.
Great to be back at Golf Australia and Australian Golf Headquarters, Nick. We've been all over the place lately, so it is nice to be back. What have you brought? Now, we do this after an Australian win. What are you going to claim this?
Well, I've got a good reason for this one because, first of all, you bagged the hell out of me, you two.
Yeah, that's right.
Last week for not bringing in a New Zealand wine.
That's fair enough.
However, we did commentate the Victorian PGA Championship down on the Mornington Peninsula.
That's a soft kill.
You know what? I'm going to bring in a Mornington Pinot. This one's Red Claw. Haven't tried it, but I hear it's an absolute beauty. 2021 Pinot Noir.
Well, go your hearts. There we go. It's all I can say.
Okay. Well, see if you like it.
Ooh, it's got a nice colour.
It always sounds nice when you pour it next to that microphone.
It certainly does, doesn't it?
Go on. Cheers.
All right. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Beautiful. Cheers.
There we go.
Okay.
In case you're wondering, have you been just having a look at some of the results?
Very happy cheers with to David Michaluzzi for winning the Vic PGA.
We got caught up with drinking it. we're there toasting you. Who are we going to toast?
How about some of the results on the weekend? I mean, kids, if you are thinking about turning pro, you'd want to start practicing. I mean, the quality of golf played this weekend is probably the best I've seen for a long, long time on every tour. On the Challenger PGA Tour of Australasia, we had a kid from New Zealand in his first month shoot 67, 67, 66 the first three rounds and lead by six. He didn't go on with it. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We saw Aubert.
Oh, it's gone to Aubert now. Yeah, so it's not Aberg, it's not Aubert.
No, it's Aubert. Well, that's what the Americans are calling him.
Ludwig. We'll just call him Luddy.
Luddy shoots a couple of 61s on the weekend to rip that field to shreds and probably take Rookie of the Year over the young Eric Cole.
Eric Cole, yeah.
Yeah. They're both going to end up in the top 50 in the world after this week. That is a mighty effort. Yeah, on your first in your first year on the PGA Tour, I mean, Eric's been there all year and he's been good to watch. But Ludwig, what's he had, about 15, 14 weeks? And he's found his way in and, you know, he turns pro, wins in Europe, plays a Ryder Cup, and wins in America in the first 15 weeks of his career.
Crazy.
Can we talk about him in a tick?
We will.
And then on the DP World Tour, we had a bloke birdie the entire back nine in round three. Don't worry about that. Let's go to the girls. The girls went ballistic yet to be 21 under par to be anywhere near the lead after three rounds.
I know. The standard is just getting better and better every year. I mean, I woke up Sunday morning after seeing Matt Wallace birdie every hole on the back nine. It was disappointing he didn't shoot 59.
Yeah, I mean, he's soft.
Yeah, he had a nine into the par five last. Needed to make eagle, knocked it in the bunker, almost hold the bunker shot.
It's got to be a European Tour record, isn't it? Nine birdies in a row.
It was. I think it equaled the European Tour record. I'm not sure if anyone's done it on the back nine, nine straight, though, on the back nine.
Well, no one's ever birdied nine holes in a row on any tour, anywhere, when it's actually the front or the back nine.
Yeah.
That's the first time that's ever happened.
Do you guys remember how many birdies in a row you did as your maximum at any one point in time?
Seven.
I think six for me. I think six. I had a nine-hole stretch where I didn't make a par. I had eight birdies and a bogey.
Yeah.
And the bogey was even a one putt because I hit it in the water. So, but six of those were in a row. So yeah. I've never done. Where'd you do seven?
It was a qualifying course somewhere up Sydney way. Oh, I've forgotten. It's a little course in the west, and it was a qualifying somewhere. I triple bogey the first. I think I told you this story. Triple the first. I thought my day was done, and I turned four under.
Wow! Thanks for coming. But
in honesty, it's just a qualifying on a little course. It wasn't a tournament course, but I always remember it.
You'd always remember those things. The thing is, when you get to three, four, five, you don't actually start thinking about it because you just want to keep going and stay in that zone.
Well, I was lucky because when I got going, all these par fives appeared from nowhere. I'd never seen the course before. And I think the first four were genuine. And then, the fifth was a par five, the sixth was a little hole, and the seventh was a par five.
Mm.
So just, the timing was right.
Yeah, it was. But as I say, I woke up Sunday morning and I'm looking at the scores, just checking the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and I see Matt Wallace shoots 60, 12 under. On the PGA Tour, you had Ludwig and Eric Cole both shoot 61. Yep. Mackenzie Hughes shot 60 that day. He shot 60, 63 over the weekend, didn't win the golf tournament.
It's just ridiculous.
How scary is that?
It's ridiculous.
And then you have, as you mentioned, LPGA. Yang ended up winning 27 under. Asian Tour, 24 under wins. Kibori here in Australia, 16 under through 3 days. As you mentioned, if you want to be a pro these days, just get out there and work your butt off because the standard is incredible. All the cuts are coming down. 4 or 5 under cuts are the norm now, whereas back in the day it was always square, one under, maybe one over, something like that. Corn Ferry Tour, sometimes you get a 6 or 7 undercut. Asian Tour, same thing. It's phenomenal how good these kids are.
Well, the one thing I did notice, though, on the weekend of all the tours, the weather was superb. There was no wind in Georgia. And at the Earth Course, it was a little bit windy, but pretty wide place and huge amounts of green space. Mm. The greens were enormous.
I think Wallace said after his round they were picking and placing, ball in hand.
Yeah, well, there you go. There's no reason.
I know in Sea Island, the one on the PGA Tour course was soft as.
Yep.
So, the courses weren't that difficult, but you still got to make the putts.
Well, see, this is what I want to talk to you about because I know they've played very good and you don't often get a week where just every single tournament, the numbers are getting crazy. You're loving this red wine, aren't you? Look at you.
Just had a sip then. What do you think, Dan?
You are murdering that. It's nearly gone.
Well,
It is getting to a stage where the driver is now the easiest club in the bag to hit. There's no doubt about that. I spoke to Jeff Ogilvie. I was doing a little thing for Huntingdale. I was there last day before the redo at Huntingdale. Jeff Ogilvie was there. He said he never, ever, and nobody ever these days hits a 3-wood to be safe. They only ever hit a 3-wood is if they're laying up short of a corner or a bunker.
Mm.
But never these days do they hit a 3-wood for safety.
Mm. Well, case in point, Ludwig, I think over the week at Sea Island, he just hit driver everywhere. And I think he's about, what they mentioned, third or fourth longest on tour, and his accuracy's around the 30th on tour. So you combine those two, you may as well just hit driver any chance you can. And unless you've got to lay it up short of a water hazard or something like that. But even on the last hole, he had a 2 or 3 shot lead, and he just pumps driver down there. It's
that's right.
Crazy.
That's right. So this is why I think we really do need to start making the ball spin again.
And smaller heads.
Yeah, because the golf ball is not a golf ball anymore when people have got a driver in their hands. The golf ball, it's a missile. It doesn't spin. It's designed not to spin. The golf clubs the ball is hit with is designed not to spin the ball. So we're getting to a point now where, you know, if you're not carrying it 300 yards with a little bit of tail, then you're getting left for dead. And I've been saying it for a long time now, but if we've got the technology for a Pro V1 and a Pro V1X to spin differently when you're hitting them with a driver or long irons, the same with the TP5 or the TP5X, and the same with Callaway, the same with all of them.
Yep.
They have the ability to get the thing spinning less with the longer clubs. Mm. So if ball technology has gone that far, you don't need to make the ball spin that much further for someone like DJ or Aubert to lose 10 steps. And not only will they lose 10 steps, but they'll pick up side spin on the shots that aren't so flash.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing at the moment.
I think it's a combination. It's the ball for sure, but the size of the heads of the drivers. I was just trying out the new Ping G425, I think it is, the latest one, the Max. And this thing is so good.
Yeah.
It's so easy to hit.
It's it.
You just pump it out there and away you go. And a very little spin on the ball. And I mean, hey, I'm going to try and get every benefit I can, obviously, these days. But I think if they could limit the size of the driver head, make the ball spin a little bit more, well, then all of a sudden the driver becomes what used to be the hardest club in the bag. It's not so much the easiest club anymore, and it used to be the hardest.
Yeah, so the balance is out of whack.
Yeah.
Just enough to make this sort of scoring the norm. And I would prefer for it not to be the norm, particularly, you know, golf courses are designed in a manner to test everybody. But these guys aren't getting tested. I mean, it is literally a 300-yard drive and then get a wedge out. And, you know, with the sharpness of the grooves that these guys have got, and they're swapping over sand irons whenever they need to. Tiger every week when he used to play. Rory every second week with the lob wedge and probably every month with all the other wedges. They can fizz the ball from anywhere. It doesn't matter about the rough. They can still fizz it. So I think the balance is slightly out of whack. There is talk that it's going to be fixed up, and the sooner the better.
Oh, I agree. But let's go to Ludvig, because this guy, he's something special. So you said, how many events has he played?
Yeah, how many?
11 events.
As a pro.
On the PGA Tour as a pro. What was he, number one amateur in the world or around there? He won the university rankings, didn't he?
He got the very first ever PGA Tour university exemption. And he has used it like no other kid will use it. There'll never be another start to a career like this.
No, for sure. But he's, as you mentioned, on the winning Ryder Cup team. He's won in Europe.
Yep.
He's won on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
He set a few records this week. I've got a few things that I just quickly looked up. The tie's the lowest 72-hole total ever.
Is that right?
253, because this was a par 70, remember?
That's right.
He was 27 under.
Yeah.
Lowest 54-hole score ever.
Yeah.
Rounds 2 to 4, he had 186 strokes. So what's that averaging? 62 per round.
Yep.
Ties the lowest 36-hole total ever, the final two rounds, 61-61. And Hughes had 123 and got beaten.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
And it was the lowest score over the final two rounds ever as well. But the thing about him is, everything about his game I love.
Yeah.
His golf swing. Okay, I know you've got your top five list going.
But he doesn't get into my top five.
Oh. Wow. Well, he's at the top of mine.
Yeah,
he is at the top of mine. Firstly, the tempo. It's kind of got that faster tempo. I love that. Yeah. The other thing I love about him, pace of play.
Yeah,
he's ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as the other players, his playing partner hits, boom, he's gone. And I love that. And it was brilliant.
Well,
brilliant to watch.
I know he's played well, and I know he's broken a lot of records. But when you looked at his stats this week, it's just ridiculous. So he was first in par four scoring. That's a big one.
That is.
That's a big one.
Given this.
Yeah. He's first in shots gained off the tee. He's first in shots gained tee to green. He's first in birdie percentage from 200 plus yards. So he's got that one as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's tied first for stand saves. He's tied first in total driving. He's tied first in total eagles. He's tied first in rough tendency. He's tied first in bogey avoidance. Only had two for the week. He's tied first from putting from 3 to 4 feet. So right there, you've got putting, stand saves, total driving.
And irons.
Irons. Long irons. I mean, it's everything. It's not like he's just, you know, driving in a million miles and holing everything. He's doing everything better than the best players that are left in America in the world.
So you just said he's got into the top 50 now in the world rankings.
He was 53. He was 53.
He's on the FedEx. He's 53 on the FedEx Cup list.
Well, I looked up his world ranking.
Okay.
And he was also 53.
Really?
Yeah, he was also 53. Yeah. And I looked up Eric Cole and he was 48.
Was he?
Wow. Yes, in the world rankings. So
he's had a heck of a year.
Oh, incredible.
And he's not a young rookie, by the way.
How old is he now?
I think
he's been playing mini tour. We've spoken to him a fair bit, actually, because spoke about the mini tours. And not many people that understand the mini tours. The mini tours, if you want to see crazy scoring where they don't really keep records, go and watch a few mini tour. Look him up and just see what sort of scores win. It's 28 under wins every week. Every single week.
Yep.
It's insane. They don't play the tough courses. They don't have the best swings. They walk around. They look a bit strange, but they shoot some of the most ridiculous scores you can ever imagine.
Eric Cole is a rookie this year. He's 35 years old. That is just unheard of on the PGA Tour.
What's Ludwig? He's 23? Is that right?
Ludwig, I think, is around 23, 24, yeah.
Now you got me looking up his, in case he was 53rd, just on the... Well, I looked up, I went to the World Golf Rankings, and he was 53rd, and I know Cole, the same thing, he was inside the top 50. So they're both going to finish in the top 50, and both those boys, in their rookie seasons, we'll be playing all the majors next season. That is huge.
What's your prediction for world ranking by the end of next year for Ludwig?
Top five in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you'll...
That's not a stretch. No, I was thinking top 10.
I think you'll get to top 10 in the world faster than John Rahm.
Scotty Scheffler, remember him?
Yeah, he raced up there as well.
After he got that Ryder Cup pick, he just went through the roof and... Yeah. Coincidentally, Ludwig got the Ryder Cup pick, and look what he's doing. So,
yeah, that's right.
There was a bit of debate about him, but I thought all along this kid's he's the real deal.
What about the demeanour? You know, nothing's rushed. Even when he's chasing, I mean, this time he was leading and just did it so beautifully. But the birdies on 17 and 18, you know, the whole of those putts.
He got a bit of luck on 17.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was moving.
It was moving.
Yeah, yep. It was moving. 18 just fell in the front.
That was perfect.
And I saw some of the irons and the driving, just so far with so much balance. But his temperament is the one for me that I think we should talk about. It's an important factor in professional golf.
Well, we saw something with the temperament on the PGA Tour as well, which we'll discuss shortly. But actually, it wasn't on the PGA Tour; it was on the DP World Tour. So. If you didn't see this, Luton, Mike Waite, Sponge used to caddy for him a little bit as well.
Yeah, that's right.
So he ended up hitting a tee shot on the ninth hole in the final round of the DP World Tour Championship.
He wasn't happy with the tee shot.
No, he wasn't. Threw the driver, went up a tree. In an effort to get the driver down, he threw a couple of other clubs up there. There was three clubs.
Three in the
up
tree.
The tree.
How did he get him down?
Well, in the end, he gave up. He walked off. He walked off swearing, and he played the ninth hole with 11 clubs, which doesn't really matter. One hole, and apparently someone retrieved it and got it back to him on the 10th. It was a thing to behold.
Would he be
fined
for that, Nick?
Yeah, for throwing the club, absolutely.
What, €1,000 or something? What did he get?
Probably more than that, I would imagine. I don't know what the fines are these days on the DP World Tour. The PGA Tour would be more than that, for sure.
But are we going to put the footage up on our socials? Have we got it?
Oh, there's something there.
There's some footage there, and there's a great photo I saw of someone trying to climb the tree and about five blokes just standing there. They're all looking up. It's very funny.
But the other thing is that his caddy was just standing there going, well, how the heck am I going to get this club down? And you know, we had a bit of debate over the weekend about caddies, and that's the time that you actually do need one because you want one to climb up the tree. Kazuma Kabori,
let's pivot into him because the shoot 67 at the Open course, then 67 on the Legends course, and then 66 on Saturday when he's on tally and in the last group. Only made two bogeys for the week at that stage. You and I look at him going, well, he's a cool character. He's had a great swing. He had the whole lot of it.
The putting stroke. Oh,
the putting
it
stroke.
It was like butter.
He's just golden. And at the start of the coverage, like we always do when someone's got a big lead, we always say, it seems to get whittled away every single week.
Yep.
This week I didn't think it was going to happen. Even though he was playing with Michelozzi, I thought he was too cool. I was sure he was, particularly the day and how well he plays at this golf course, because if you don't know, He won the Tour School.
Q School.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Challenger Australasian Tour School at the same venue and did it easy. I just didn't think, I just felt like he was always going to make more birdies than bogeys on this golf course with the putting stroke and the way he'd been hitting the ball.
Yeah, and with a six-shot lead, you think, well, someone's going to have to go way low to catch him.
But then we saw him on the first tee on his lonesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's been, pulling that golf bag by himself his entire amateur career, and he's comfortable doing it. But when you're playing for big money, it's different. It's a different situation because, especially early in your career, playing on the Challenger PGA Tour of Australasia, you're not going to be presented six shots head start when $45,000 is at the end of the rainbow.
Yeah. And look, I get the fact that, it's an expense thing, at the moment for a lot of young pros and things like that. However, I would have got someone just to pull the buggy for him because it saves. And the other thing is, by the end of the week, this Sunday, you've played your practice round, you played the pro-am if you got the invite.
Yeah.
You are tired.
Cool.
Six rounds of golf in a row wears you out. And Moona links, especially.
It's a hard course to walk.
That's a hard walk. And you've got to drag that buggy all the way around the golf course, all the way around the greens. You've got to rake your own bunkers.
Yep.
Do all the little things that a caddy you just take for granted. And you watch Michelozzi, who was playing with him. Just he had the caddy and the bag. He's just, it's like a stroll in the park, basically. Yeah. So it's a lesson learnt. And I think, I actually think, and you think the same thing, there almost should be a rule, I think, for final day, maybe the last few groups or something
last
like that.
Last four groups.
Yeah, because it looks great on TV as well.
Well, the product doesn't look as good. I mean, if you...
With a caddy, is what I'm saying. Yeah,
if you knew the ins and outs of the coverage, everybody would be impressed. How they get the coverage up and going with limited cameras, limited manpower. It's been back through 4G. There's a lot going on.
There is.
I think it would be nice if the players agreed to make it look as professional as we all want it to look.
Yep.
So I'm not having a crack at anybody there.
No.
I just think if we're all in and we want to make the best product possible, I think it would be easy to get the players to agree. So it might only be eight players. Let's say half of them have already got a caddy.
Yep.
So you're probably looking for four caddies just to make the coverage look superb. So I think that's got to be down the track. But I also think, Nick, it's for their own good.
Yes.
That's the other bit. It's for their own good. We're actually helping them. Now, a lot of them, they probably carried the bag or they pulled the bag and they got there by doing it that way.
Yeah. I did the same thing. I carried my bag early on as well. But it's okay to carry and pull your own bag when you're playing well. When you're not playing well, like Kabori got off to a bad start. He hooked one off the first. He's two over through three or four holes. You're going, this is when a caddy earns their money.
Yeah.
So they can talk to you, just calm you down, get your mind away from the game between shots. That's so important because you could almost see him thinking as he's walking down the fairways going, what's going on with my game today? You don't even worry about it as you're walking down the fairway. You worry about it when you get to the golf ball.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing with a caddy that's never spoken about is how valuable they are in the practice rounds.
Yes.
So I know when I first turned pro, I wanted to be a really good player. I didn't want to play professional golf as a hobby. So Ian Stanley was somebody who came from my golf club at the time, which was Huntingdale Golf Club, and Bob Shearer and all those guys. They really made sure that I had caddies right from the start, and that just was in my head. And I think I played well early because I used the caddy in the practice rounds, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They were always there. In the end, on those days that aren't tournament days, they become your trainer.
Mm.
You've got a trainer. It'd be like boxing, How often can you just hit the heavy bag?
Yep.
Every once in a while, you've got someone who gets the pads and you're doing some different stuff, or even better, they might get in the ring and spar with you.
For sure.
So they'll put pressure on you. Instead of hitting four chips and then hitting a few putts, sometimes when you've got a caddy and they're rolling the ball back to you around every green on a golf course you've never seen before, you're 12. The difference in getting sharp and ready to play a tournament, it's extreme when you've got a caddy helping out.
I totally agree. And if you have at each course, for instance, here in Australia, you could just get some of the local young either juniors or the club champion or whatever. They know the golf course and they can really help these players out.
Yes. And you had a great relationship with yours. I never played with you and Wilbur. But I saw you together, and I've, you know, obviously I've heard you talk about Wilbur as well. But some of the situations, just give us a bit of an insight. Some of the situations you may well have been in, where Wilbur was there, and you could just lean on him a little bit.
Absolutely.
Or even better, when Wilbur knew that something might have been floating around, a little butterfly floating around in your scone, and he could tell.
For sure.
And he could. Yeah. Can you give us an example?
Well, the art of a good caddy is, especially when you're not playing well, every now and then, I mean, and Wilbur and I, we had this relationship where he could sort of see, when I was playing well, he didn't really have to say much. He just let me go. It was like I was a finely tuned engine. He knew I was on song that day, and I just give him a little... Okay, we're feeling pretty good right here. And you go, okay, I'm just going to step back. I'm going to let you do your thing. And then other days we would go,
how good.
I would say to Wilbur, mate, I have no clue where the ball's going today. And he goes, okay, we're going to really work through this and I'm going to help you the whole way. So that's the beautiful part about the player-caddy relationship. So, and in a way, on those days when I was really struggling, the first thing he did, as soon as I hit a shot, we'd start talking about cricket, football, soccer, anything to get my mind away from the game, because it's on those bad days that you start overthinking.
Yeah.
And that's when a caddy, I think, earns their money the most. And it really helped me. Probably the prime example was when I missed a 3-foot putt to win the Australian PGA Championship at Coolum. I mean, I was just a mess afterwards in the scorer's hut, and I was trying to go, okay, I couldn't even see my scorecard. I was just, you know, in a complete daze.
Yep.
And we're sitting there, and I've signed my card eventually. I got him to check it because I said, is this right, mate? Yeah. I'm really struggling here, and he knew it.
You're in a state.
Yeah, and the cart ride from the scorer's hut back to the 18th tee was about a 2 or 3, 4 minute ride. That ride, we had a really good chat together, and he got my mind switched back on. He says, you haven't lost this. We're still in it. You're playing phenomenal golf. Let's just go one shot at a time. And if he wasn't there, I'm not sure I would have won that golf tournament.
Yeah,
it made
a
massive difference.
Isn't that a great example? Now I want to ask you this question. Kazuma, he hit a really bad drive off the first. A bad one, and so bad he had to chip it out sideways. Now, if Wilbur was on the tee with young Kazuma, I reckon he would have been able to sense something. And he doesn't have to get into his head at that stage. It's almost just a distraction.
Yeah.
Hey, look over here.
That's it right
look,
there.
Look over here, you know. Come with me over here. Or just anything.
Yeah.
And just relax the kid.
Mm-hmm.
If Kazuma's got someone who's doing that for him, he pipes one down the middle. I'm absolutely certain of it. Mm. He doesn't make bogey on the first. And away he goes. Yeah. Tick-tock. And it's there. And you know what? I reckon some of these kids do it because they're trying to save money.
Yes, I totally agree.
And I
understand it.
Yep.
It's like early on in my career when I was traveling to Europe, one of the best bits of advice I ever got was do not go in economy, go business class. Your body will appreciate it because if you lie down and you get the flat bed and all that, it was expensive. At the time, I was thinking, I'm not sure I can afford this. This is really expensive, but it paid off.
You've
got to back yourself.
Absolutely. I know. I got to the last stage of the US Tour School 1 year and – business, you know.
Yeah.
You just had to buy. It was like an $8,000. It was more money. Yeah. It was an $8,000 ticket. I think the entry fee to the tour school back then was like $7,000 or $8,000 US. So, you know, add those two up. It's $20,000 already.
Mm.
It's 6 rounds. So it's 8 rounds with a caddy. It just went up and up and up and up. I missed the tour school. Got my little card on the secondary school over there, the Hogan Tour or whatever it was, or Nike Tour or whatever. But I know that if I didn't go business class, I was cooked.
Yep, for sure.
So there are all these things where you've got to spend. It's the old saying, isn't it? You got to spend money to make money.
You got it.
Is there a psychological impact as well in having one? And what I mean by that is, you know how if you got a new car, you're in a new car, you feel $1 million. You got a brand new suit, you feel $1 million. If you don't have a caddy and the bloke you're playing against does, do you feel like slightly lesser?
Yes.
Against him,
I would have. I never let myself have that feeling. I always had a good caddy. I always wanted to have every possible advantage going my way. One of those reasons was I wasn't, you know, good enough. Like Nico, I had to have everything going, pointing in the right direction. Like you couldn't have afforded to. And that's, you know, in the end, that's why I stopped playing when I was 33, because I had no money left, because I would not do it cheap. Because I knew if I started doing it cheap, then golf was just a hobby.
Yes.
And I didn't want golf to be a hobby. I wanted it to be my profession. There's no getting around it, is there?
No. No, I'm going to carry your bag into this break here, Mark. We got through the front nine. It's good.
Right, mate. Well, we got a voicemail. We got the feedback. We got the Ping global results.
We do.
And a big thank you to Ping as well. They've been so good to us. We really appreciate it. And the golf clearance outlet, honestly, those gloves, they're just selling like hotcakes. So if you want one of these $13 gloves, go to golfclearanceoutlet.com.au.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, what do you got there?
This is the new Ping G430 Max 10K driver. It's next level, I'll tell you. It's so impressive. We all know that Ping help you play your best. I've been using them for years, and I wouldn't use anything else. In fact, this new driver, it's Ping's straightest and highest moment of impact driver ever.
Holy moly. So on the course, what's that going to mean? How's it going to help golfers?
Well, to put it simply, it means people are going to be hitting longer, straighter, and they're going to absolutely crack their drives off the tee. I could talk about it all day. It's that good. But the best thing to do, if you want to check out how impressive Ping's new G430 Max 10K driver is, just book in with your local golf shop or professional to arrange a Ping club fitting, and I'll see you out there with my Ping gear.
Hey Nick, I know you've heard of the Watch My Numbers app. It is brand new, and it is going to dominate the golf app scene for a long, long time. If you want to improve your game, you need to know the areas you're doing well in and where you need to improve. And this app will tell you exactly that, Nick.
Yeah, you're spot on, Mark. It's the most powerful database golf app in the world, and it helps analyze and improve your game like never before because it uses real-time data from your rounds and highlights the areas of your game that you want to look at.
You get actionable and usable info in minutes, not hours. That's really important. It's easy to use. You can set up your profile very quickly. I've done mine. And start accessing data and subscriber-only content straight away.
Who's it aimed at?
Well, it's aimed at people who want to improve their game. It's for all levels of every golfer out there. Particularly powerful if you're a mid to low handicapper. But it's great for the elite level and pros as well.
So elite and pros as well. I like that.
Watch My Numbers, download it from the App Store and turn your bogeys in the birdies.
Like the podcast? Oh, maybe tell a friend. Drop them a text or share it on your socials. This is Talk Birdie to Me with Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen.
Hey, I just said to go to the golf clearance outlet if you want one of those gloves. Sam Colosimo, he would kill me because he would want everyone to know there's not just gloves at the golf clearance outlet. There are the biggest brands in golf. Titleist, you can get every single glove, every ball, everything you need at the golf clearance outlet. So it's not just $13 Cabretta gloves. There is stacks more.
Yeah.
Stacks and stacks and stacks.
Ping.
Titleist, Ping,
everything.
You go there, you'll get looked after.
Now, you guys heard the voicemail beep just before the break,
which means
we have a voicemail.
Okay. Right on. Hit us with it.
You have one new voicemail. New message.
G'day, Nick and Marco. Loving the show. Nick, I recently dusted off a set of old Ping i3 Pluses I purchased for my 30th birthday, which was unfortunately over 20 years ago. I was blown away at just how amazing they were despite the age. I've been using T200 Titleists of late, but these Pings are absolutely pure. So my question to you is, what were your favourite Pings? And would the Ping i3 Pluses still be legal today? Also, Marco, thanks for the masterclass tip on the Greg Norman hip movement. That has been an absolute game changer for my driver. Thanks, boys. Love the show.
Isn't that nice?
The Ping i3 Pluses. I'm wondering if he's thinking about the i3 Blades.
Maybe.
Yeah, because I've got the i3 Blades. I still have a set. They're quite... They used to have the i2 Pluses.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they did an i3 Plus, but I'm thinking he might be meaning the i3 Blades. I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
They are pure, by the way. I had a hit with them about a month or so ago, I think, and they still feel fantastic. I love all the Ping range. Every time Ping bought out a new iron, I went from the only ones that looked really funky were the Ping Zings. Oh, do you remember those?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The I2s. I remember
Lucy and Tinkler had a set of them. Oh, yeah. And Luce, he loved it. I reckon he had that same set for about 15 years.
So they had the I2s and then maybe the I2 Plus, and they might have been the ones with the box grooves, and they had that whole debate about whether the grooves were legal and things like that. I'm not sure if they'd be legal these days.
No,
I don't
know. They're not legal.
Yeah. And then they went to the I3 blades, and then they went through the whole S59, 58, 57 range. My favourites out of all those, the S56s, there was something about those that just looked perfect to my eye. And now I have the I blades, and I'm waiting for the new blueprint, the S blueprint, to come. So I've ordered them, and they're coming. But I love that he's got those ones out again, the I3 blades. I think they're a phenomenal iron.
When I was a kid, I was 16 years old, and Bernard Langer came to town to play the Australian Masters. And he had the old beryllium lob wedge.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the first ones with the illegal grooves. He had the beryllium lob wedge and the sand wedge. Yeah. And I saw them, and I saved and saved and saved and saved and saved, and I got them. I just could. I was fizzing the ball that much.
The beryllium copper. Oh. They were incredible. Peter Fowler, he always had an old Ping I2 lob wedge. Yeah. He'd use that out of the bunker.
How about the grind on that thing?
Oh, my gosh, it was incredible. He ground the heck out of that thing, and it was something to watch him out of the bunkers in the short game. Peter's been a long-time Ping player.
Yeah, he's been a superstar.
That's a great voicemail from Sam. And if you want to leave one for us, go to talkbirdietome.com.au. Leave a message, send it in, and we'll play it on the pod.
Mm. Beautiful. We got time for some feedback?
We do. Okay, this one from Tony. Hey, guys, I love the pod. Wednesday is now my favourite day. That's very nice.
Oh, that's very beautiful. Nice.
Although the pod comes out Tuesday.
Doesn't have time, obviously.
Yeah. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
I was at RQ for my induction day for the PGA next Thursday, and look who I saw in a poster for the PGA. Champion, love it. And see the photo there? Photo of Nick O'Hearn. Yeah,
that was when I missed that 3-foot putt, and Wilbur got me steadied and won in the playoff.
So that, well, they call it the drive of fame. So basically, you can turn up at any tournament now, even some of the amateur tournaments. They got pictures of the past champions as you drive in. It's fantastic.
It is. They do it at the Vic Open down at 13th Beach as you're driving in there. But the PGA, it's a lot of fun. And RQ this week for the Australian PGA Championship. I might even go down and maybe sneak a photo next to it. Who knows?
Is there a past champions
boost
category?
The ego a bit.
Could you have played if you wanted to?
Possibly. Yeah. I'd probably need an invite. I don't know what I don't know how many years the past champion extends.
Can I tell you this? On the PGA, go on.
Well, I'm in a category for career money that I could use to play on the Challenger PGA Tour of Australasia. You get 2 years, given my career money status and all that. But. Yeah. I don't play in practice anymore, and there's no point me taking a spot away from one of these kids.
No, that's the right attitude. I did notice the fourth member of our commentary team, Ryan Lynch, he flew up to Queensland to try and qualify, so he had no practice. Went up there, shot even par, missed qualifying by 2 shots.
Oh, I was going to ask, I saw the scores, I didn't know how many spots they had available. Five. I saw he shot. Yeah. Sure, he shot level. That's really good.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
So what's that called? Is that called the Walk of Fame? Is it what it's called?
The Drive of Fame.
The Drive of Fame.
It'll be on the par 3. I think it's about the 16th or 17th hole, something like that.
You know what they should do? They should have had the photos of all the guys who finished second and have that on the walk to the toilets.
Yeah.
Number twos.
I would feature prominently at the Australians. I would feature prominently at the Australian Open.
Dodsy. I love watching Aussie golf at the moment. If we could cover a few more groups, it'd be even better, but I'll take what we have right now. I love the commentary on attacking golf. It's like getting a free lesson listening to you guys and explaining why things are happening.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn.
We enjoy talking about golf. We really do.
Mm. Yeah. From Anonymous, this guy said, can you please not say my name?
Ooh.
We will keep it controversial. Anonymous here.
Okay.
I'm a bit disappointed Dan has been knocked back from Portsea. I'm a few metres from the fourth green. My lawnmower and leaf blower will be running about 50 minutes after his tee times.
Come on.
You can't be doing that, Anonymous.
Come on. It's a bit petty.
It is a little bit petty. On Dan Andrews, we have another one. Marco, strap yourself in here, buddy.
Righto.
All right, this is from Lachlan. Now, and we're nothing if not honest on this podcast.
Of course we are.
Yep. Lachlan has said, "Hey guys, I'm a big fan of the podcast and thoroughly enjoy the weekly celebration of all things Aussie golf. I was a bit confused on last week's podcast to hear the chat around and the lack of criticism for the alleged refusal of membership for Dan Andrews at Portsea. This sort of behaviour is what gives golf a bad name and contradicts the idea that golf is open to everyone, even if it's someone you don't like."
Well, everyone's very much entitled to their thoughts, and there's lots of people who think exactly like that. But unfortunately, at a golf club, golf clubs are not just for golf. Golf clubs, for a lot of people, it's where they are social. And if enough of the members aren't happy with a proposed new person to the club, then apparently at a lot of clubs, and it's not just for Dan Andrews, by the way.
It's happened to other people that I know.
A lot of media people, a lot of sports people get proposed to places, and they're not let in. Shane Warne, you know, he ended up being a member at Kingston Heath. But there's quite a few clubs where they just knocked him back straight away because he was Shane Warne.
Ricky Ponting tried to get to Royal Melbourne, didn't he?
Yeah, well, Ricky didn't get into to Royal Melbourne. I mean, there's stacks and stacks of them. So, look, I understand it because of what happened through COVID, but there's obviously going to be a lot of people like that who just think it's quite petty.
Yeah. Mm. This is from Richard. "Hey, guys, what happened to Craig Parry? He did some Japan tour after finishing the PGA, but he seems like he hasn't had a putt since."
Pez stopped playing golf, and he's quite happy living on his boat in Sydney Harbour. He secretly made millions and millions of dollars, Craig Parry.
He did very well.
And I have that much respect for him. I was a Schweppes player. I wore a Schweppes visor for my whole career, and of course so did Craig Parry. He wore the same. So I was at a lot of functions with him. I loved him. I really loved him, and I had that much admiration because, you know, the way he hit the golf ball, it wasn't like he was Adam Scott, but mentally he was as tough a competitor in the history, not just in Australia, ever. Yep. He was one of the toughest bastards you would ever, ever meet on the golf course.
Yeah, when some players, when they get a sniff of a win, another player comes to mind, Peter Senior.
Yep,
I mean, when he gets a sniff of victory, it's unbelievable how hard it is to beat him. And going to, is it Richards? Yeah, Richards' message there. So when Craig finished his time in the US, I think he had like a 10-year exemption after he won at Doral. Remember, he held that
6-iron.
6-iron, on the final hole. He got a long-time exemption from that. But when that finished, he was coming back to Australia, said he was going to go play Japan because he had an exemption there as well from however many tournaments he won over there. And I ended up renting his house at Arlworth.
Oh, did you?
So that's the reason I ended up at Arlworth. I rented his house. And then we ended up buying and all that sort of thing. But yeah, he's all into his course design business these days, and I don't think he plays much golf anymore because he's probably one of those players that goes, well, if I'm not going to play at the level I remember, well why should I play? Mm. So I don't know how much time he gets out on the golf course. I know he loves designing them, and from what I can tell, he does a great job.
He's got a great charity day at Medway Golf Club as well.
Mm.
And don't ever forget, when he held that 6-iron earlier in the week, Johnny Miller said he swings it like a 14 handicapper or something?
Might have
even been more.
And he said Ben Hogan would puke at that swing.
Yeah. And he would have known that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He would have known that and went on and won. That's how tough he was. Mm-hmm. He was tough.
And Paz is living on a boat on Sydney Harbour now.
Pretty much.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
And at that tournament in Doral, he held the 6-iron. I think the guy he beat, another guy so tough to beat, was Scott Verplank.
Oh, that's right.
I think
right.
It was him. And Scotty, I tell you what, here's another guy who maximised what he had. Yeah. Unbelievable how good a player he was for the golf swing he had.
Yep.
Mm. All right, last bit of feedback, and end on a really nice positive one here from Adam McKenzie. "Hey guys, another great listen." This is on last week's pod. "Another great listen and a laugh while at work. The tips have been spot on too. This is the best golf podcast in the world. Great balance of tips, talk, news, and laughs."
Oh, fantastic. Oh. Thanks for listening. We love doing it. Hey, can someone bust out Timmy Trumpet, please?
Oh, yes.
It is time for the Ping Global Results.
Oh, how good is that?
So good.
I love that. Love that intro now. Ping Global Results. My goodness. Okay, well, let's start off. I know. This has got to be a good one, and it is actually. The DP World Tour Championship, final event of the year. Rory going into it, he'd actually already won it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is the fifth time he's won.
Five. I didn't know that.
He's won the tour. Now, he's still behind the record of Colin Montgomery, your favourite player.
Yeah. He won eight. How many times in a row?
Eight times in a row. I think seven in a row.
Seven in a row and won another one somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah. It could have been eight in a row. Freakish. I'm not sure. Anyway, freakish. But Nikolai Højgaard, what a finish. Birdies five of the last six. He actually missed about a 5-foot putt on the last hole for six in on the bounce.
Oh, did he really? I didn't know that. I know he bogeyed 12 and then birdied the next five.
And he was in the scorer's hut afterward looking a bit forlorn. I mean, he just shot 8 under 64 and he's thinking these guys might be able to catch me here. But as it turned out, Victor Hovland, Tommy Fleetwood, Matt Wallace.
Yeah.
They tried to eagle the last, but none of them could do it, unfortunately.
Well, Gard came second last week as well. I had a look at the prize money. Mm. It's well and truly over 3 million euros in the last 2 weeks.
Unbelievable.
Not too bad.
Now, there was a bit of a sob story for his brother, Rasmus. Because the top 10 not already exempt earn PGA Tour cards from the DP World Tour. Now they've got this new thing that's come in.
I know Americans hate it. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, I think it's
great. Because it helps us.
Well, we got Ryan Fox, New Zealander. He got a card. Adrian Moronk, Bobby McIntyre, who's coming down for one of our tournaments.
Fantastic.
Which is brilliant. Ryo Hesatsune, who comes down as well. He played
the
PGA.
They all might go over. Fantastic.
Well, they've got PGA Tour cards now. But Rasmus, his brother, Nikolai already has his wrapped up. Rasmus, his brother, had it wrapped up, but then he ended up, what did he do on the last hole? He hit it in the water. Ended up making par, though.
Yeah.
And then the Frenchman, Pavon, birdies the last four holes to knock him out.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Knocked him out. So Pavon goes. Rasmus won't be going over with Nikolai, but I'm sure he'll get some starts anyway, so he'll be just fine. On the Australasian side of things at the event, tied for 15th, Minwoo Lee, nice result. Ryan Fox, 34th, Lucas Herbert, 38th, and Daniel Hillier also tied for 38th. And the other thing that was happening last week, when the pod came out, we weren't quite sure how it was all going to unfold, but the DP World Tour Q School was on.
Mm.
Two players from Australasia got through. Seventh card goes to Sam Jones, a New Zealander.
Fabulous.
And admittedly, I don't know who Sam is, and I'm going to look out for him now. So I haven't seen him play yet, but West Australian Hayden Barron,
he got
the 10th card. He played some phenomenal golf down the stretch. Three WA boys made the cut. The rest of the guys, unfortunately, didn't.
Just on Hayden Barron, when I was looking at the stats for this year on our computer when we do the commentary, guess who had the lowest scoring average on the Australasian PGA Tour? Hayden Barron.
Really?
Yeah, no surprise when you look at that.
He's an absolute flusher. Comes from great pedigrees. Dad, Dave, is a good mate of the families and a good baseballer too. Good golfer, Dave. But Hayden is well on his way there.
Fantastic.
Hayden Hopewell was unfortunately two shots off the mark. And Connor McKinney didn't quite get through the... They made the cut, but they didn't get their cards. But they will have full challenge to a status for next year, I believe. So that's very good for them.
Beauty.
PGA Tour, the RSM Classic at Sea Island. I played this golf course and I didn't think it was that easy, but 27 under. Thank you very much. Ludwig, back-to-back 61s, beat Mackenzie Hughes by 4 strokes in the end. It was actually closer than that coming down the stretch. On the Aussie front, Aaron Baddeley, tied for 64th. Cameron Percy, 77th. Bads keeps his card because this was the last event, the top 125.
On Bads, have you seen the way he's setting up to the ball at the moment? With the closed stance on every single shot. And not just a little bit closed. Not Ben Hogan with the driver closed. It's 45 degrees with a 6-iron closed. 45 degrees.
Is it that much?
It's incredible how closed he is with the foot. And it's not so much just the... It's not his hips.
Is he releasing the hands or he's trying to turn through it?
I don't know. Must it help him turn back or something? Wow. I don't know. But he's doing it and he's playing well.
Okay.
You'd want to with 6 kids.
Yeah, that's very true. Last event of the season for the top 125. Keep their card. The bubble boy, your friend.
Who?
Carl Yuan.
With
the crazy finish.
And?
He went from 125 to 126.
Oh, you're joking.
He got knocked out by Ryan Moore.
That's a travesty.
It is.
I wanted to see that guy play more.
They need more Carl Yuans on the PGA Tour. But Ryan Moore had a great week and went from 128 to 118. So he was the only guy that knocked.
Good couple of weeks for Ryan Moore. He played well last week as well.
But unfortunately, on the Aussie front, Cameron Percy finished 161, so he's outside the top 150, which is not great. They have another category, 126 to 150 on the PGA Tour. If you get within that, then you'll probably get about a dozen starts. Harrison Endicott finished in that, at least. So
what happens at 161? Corn Ferry? Anything?
Maybe some status there. Got to go back to Q School. All that sort of thing.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. On the LPGA Tour, the CME Group Tour Championship. So their final event of the season in Naples, Florida. South Korean Amy Yang definitely making my top five best swings.
Really?
I watched her swing it, and it is pure.
They were 21 under par after three rounds. What did they finish?
27 for Yang.
27 under par.
Yeah, and she won by, I think, by three shots from Alison Lee and Nasa Hatayoka. And she took home the $2 million prize, the biggest prize in women's golf.
Nice.
Phenomenal. She held a wedge on the 13th for Eagle to take the lead and birdied the last two holes. And on the final hole, I think she's leading by one. No, she's leading by two. So there's a chance her playing partner. Mm. And I thought, okay, this is going to be a good test to the golf swing. Never missed a beat. And
really?
Hit it about 10 feet, rolled it in for birdie. Thank you very much.
Pre-shot the whole
lot.
So up.
Pure.
Yeah.
Minji Lee was the best of the Australians, tied for eighth. Hannah Green.
What'd she shoot in the last round?
Because
she was
23rd.
Up there. She was about fifth after three rounds.
Yeah, I think she had 69, something like that in the final round. Three under, I think.
Three under and lost a bit of ground. Mm, wow.
It was crazy. On the Ladies European Tour, Mallorca Ladies Open, there's only one more event left. The top 70 keep the cards. So there's quite a bit happening over there still in Europe. Germany's Alexandra Fosterling had a five-shot win, but our own Kirsten Rudgley tied for 31st. So she's going to keep her card. She's 43rd on the money list. On the Asian Tour, Indonesian Masters, India's Gunjit Bulla went wire to wire for a five-shot win over countryman Karandeep Kocher.
Nice.
I'm getting this out with
the red.
I tell you, the red claws.
The red helps you a lot.
The red claw red is beautiful right now. So New Zealand, how's this? Ben Campbell, he won in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Finished third this week. He's rolling in the cash
now.
He's rolling in the cash. Brilliant. But Jack Thompson had another good week. Tied for 14th. Travis Smyth tied for 24th. Another ping player. Was the best of the Aussies. And then obviously on the home front, Victorian PGA Championship at Moon Links, Dave Micheluzzi. Final round 68, overran Kazuma Kobori, and Ben Eccles was second, also shot a 68.
And Eccles goes to number one on the order of merit at this stage after finishing second. Where do you have the win? The WA PGA in Kalgoorlie.
Correct. So this week we've got the Australian PGA Championship. A lot of our big names coming back. Adam Scott, Cam Smith, Min Woo. Can't wait to see that. But the other big news in golf, Tiger Woods.
Yes.
He has announced he's playing the Hero World Challenge in Albany.
Yeah, isn't that great?
So I'm thinking he's going to test himself out. Four rounds of walking. Now, Albany, it's as flat as a pancake out there. I've been there. It's the Bahamas Resort, all that sort of stuff, owned by Tavistock, which is Isleworth, Lake Nona. Never played the course. It looked pretty good because it was just being built when I was over there. So next year, the majors are these venues.
Tell me
which you think he might play. Valhalla, the PGA?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either. No. Augusta's the Masters.
Yes,
no.
He's going to. I think he'll play.
That's the hardest walk out
of
anything.
Yeah, I know, but I think he'll play in the Augusta.
Okay.
He just loves going.
Royal Troon, the British Open?
Has to.
Yeah. And the US Open, Pinehurst.
It's pretty flat.
Very flat.
Yeah, very
flat. I think he will play that one, for sure.
Okay.
I'm thinking Pinehurst and Troon. I'm not sure about Augusta or Valhalla.
Don't forget my prediction.
I know.
Where he will play the Champions Tour in a golf cart, get sharp for the majors, and he'll win one in his 50s. He will win one in his 50s. He'd be thinking, if Phil Mickelson can win a PGA Championship at 51, he still probably thinks he can win until he's 55.
Hey, you heard it here first, folks, on Talk Birdie to Me podcast. That is the Ping Global results.
There's one more.
Oh.
I've just got to interject.
Okay.
Charlie Woods, his high school team, won the state championship.
Oh.
And it's something that Tiger Woods never achieved. So Charlie has got one over his dad. He was only 14 years old. I think he's only a freshman in high school over there because only the last 4 years count. But they won the state championship.
Hey, Dan, I think Mark's on the Charlie Woods watch.
Yeah, I am.
I think he is full on into this Charlie Woods.
He 100% is. Before we get on to the top five, can I ask you a question about the Victorian PGA?
Yeah.
So I was watching on the weekend. You guys were commentating, and I was on the couch with my ass on the couch and a beer in my hand.
That doesn't surprise anyone.
Hey. Jeez, come on. And I think it was maybe the 10th or 11th hole on Sunday afternoon, and Micheluzzi was on the hole, and he was measuring up a putt, and he looked at the hole, and he went back about 3 metres, and he crouched down for a little bit, and he had a look, and then he went back another...
12th hole.
After
he hit that 50-degree thing, he was trying to hit into the front edge, and it went to the back of the green.
Yeah, so what was he telling me? Talk me through what he was doing then.
Well, what he was doing is a very, very long putt, obviously, so he's trying to break it down into sections, and that's what you can do on longer putts. If you've got a bit of a ridge to go up and over and down, and there might be two or three different sections to it, you break it down from the hole backwards. You look at the last section first, and you go, right, what's this going to do? where does the ball need to be traveling when it gets to this area? And then you work back from there, probably another point, maybe a third of the way, and you go, right, I need to be this spot here to get it up and over this tier or whatever it was, and then back to the ball and away you go. And that's kind of the best way to break down those longer putts, especially when there's a tier or a ridge that you need to count.
That was a tricky one. There was a few little sort of curves and
sometimes
ups and downs.
When there's a really long putt and it's up and down hills, you can't really see the hole where you're getting the ball to start. So when you get on top of it, when you're having those little strokes halfway, you're just trying to picture how hard the ball is rolling at the top of that ridge.
Yes.
And then you get back to where you're starting, and then you kind of take the hole out of it. It just uncomplicates what they're trying to do. You're just trying to hit the ball at that middle spot at that pace.
Yeah, perfect. And the other thing to remember on that is the first part of its journey is when you're hitting the ball will be traveling the fastest. So that'll be the least amount of break it's going to have. It'll always break the most at the end. So work from the hole backwards is the best way.
Well, it's time for this week's top five. My inspiration is the 18th hole at the Open course because it's
Moona Links.
It's a really difficult, difficult second shot. But once you get over all those bunkers in the middle, it's actually okay. But it has a really unusual challenge on that hole.
I had to describe the flyover a couple of times.
Yes.
And it was very interesting.
You did a pretty good job, actually.
I visited most of those bunkers.
Anyway, so I started to think, all right, best final hole in the world, best final holes in the world that don't host major championships, because they've got all the good ones. They've got all the famous ones if a major championship has been played there. So I'm going to start at number five, like we do, and I will never forget Christy O'Connor Jr. hitting a 2-iron over water from 220 yards to 2 feet to beat Fred Couples in a Ryder Cup. So the 18th hole there has a special place. I also think it's where Jack Nicklaus...
No.
He didn't give the putt to Tony Jacklin?
No, I think that was at Wentworth.
We'll have to look that up.
Okay.
Can you just look up Nicklaus Jacklin, please?
Concession.
Well, you could go and I'll look that up.
Nicklaus Jacklin.
Where are you thinking it's at?
I think it was at the Belfry.
The Belfry,
Where do you think it was at?
I think it was at Wentworth, but I could be wrong.
Right.
Now, the other famous shot, Seve, I think, hit a 3-wood out of the fairway bunker there at the Belfry. And Nick Faldo said it's the greatest shot he has ever seen because he thought there's no way he can get a 3-wood out of this bunker.
What about the driver that he hit onto the 10th? He hit it, water on the front. That was at the Belfry as well.
That's one of my favourite 10th. We should do a 10th hole because that one, Riviera 10th, Royal Melbourne, West, there's so many good 10th holes. Anyway, we'll get to that
another
time.
Hang on. It looks like we've got something.
Royal Birkdale.
Royal Birkdale.
We're both wrong.
Goodness.
Wow. Man. Okay. Right. Jeez.
So the Belfry stays as my number five.
Okay.
Okay. Can I just, I like
it's
that.
It's an
hole.
Unusual.
Number four, you'll be happy, Coolum. It's an iconic 18th hole in Australia. And whether you're trying to win a championship or in my case, you're trying to keep your card. It was always the last. I always seem to come to that hole needing to make a par to keep my card.
Or in John Daly's case, throwing the putter way into the water because he's so frustrated.
So the 18th of Coolum is an absolute ripper. Number three. I don't speak about this hole very often.
Okay.
But only the best have done well at the 18th at Lake Carinup. Only the best going around.
And what did you have there to shoot the course record?
66. What,
did you have a birdie or a par on the
final? No, I got up
hole?
And down from the front. I was leaking that much oil. It wasn't funny. It's a very good hole, straight up the hill over this big thing. Yeah, anyway, it's a ripper.
One.
Number two, Royal Melbourne Composite. The 18th of the East is simply one of the greatest holes of all time. But I think a lot of people gravitate to my number one. It just looks so beautiful and it is so iconic and it does not hold a major. Mm-hmm. Comes the week after the Masters, 18 at Hilton Head.
Oh, yes.
Just superb.
At Harbour Town. I love that hole. It is the widest, it's almost as wide a fairway as the first at St. Andrews.
Are you scared to miss it, though?
Yes. The worst thing is you've got to carry it about, I'm thinking 210 metres, 220 metres off the tee. Yeah. Typically, it plays a little downwind sometimes into, obviously, if it's the opposite. But it's so wide. But then you don't want to go further than about 260, 270. So you can't go too far. If you go up the right, That's the ideal spot, but then you've got out of bounds along the right. So you've got to be wary of that as well. And then the second shot is so hard, but you got the lighthouse in the background, such an iconic.
I've never been there, but downwind, I always feel like the players need the flirt by going too far so that they can hit a wedge that will actually spin on that tiny green. Because if you're kind of in the middle and you're hitting an 8-iron into it, even the best players aren't getting the ball to stop.
Yeah, I've hit 6, 5 irons, 7 irons into that green, and it's rock hard. Yeah, yeah, so, you need something short coming in there if possible. Can't go left, obviously, because I don't know what sound it is. It's one of those sounds or whatever they call it over there. It's a great looking hole. Really good.
It would have suited you,
that
course.
I like that top five. That's good.
Would have suited you, that joint.
Yeah, so I had plenty of top tens there.
Yeah, I bet. It is time for this week's Masterclass.
Yes, it is. And this Masterclass is dedicated to our Victorian PGA Championship winner, Dave Micheluzzi. You spoke a bit about it on the coverage, about the way he putts. And what you spoke about is how he didn't stop moving. Everything was moving, the feet, the hand, the head look, everything like that. And that's a great thing to do when you are actually putting. It sort of contradicts a lot of the old school teaching. You know, you need to stay as still as possible. Obviously your head needs to be fairly still when you're hitting the putt, but other than that, up until the moment of impact, it's always a good idea to have just a little shuffle, a little feet tap,
something.
Get the hands just sort of milking the shaft, the head bobble going back and forth. Brad Faxon actually posted a great video about this maybe a year or two ago. He called it continual motion or something like that.
We'll find it and post it as
well. Yeah, we will.
Although you're about to do one.
I'm going to do a masterclass on all this, but it's all about not standing still and reacting to the hole, which is very, very important. Something I think when a lot of people get on the greens is they freeze a little and they seize up, and that affects your rhythm and your tempo. And if you watch Dave Micheluzzi putt on Sunday, I mean, he just never looked like he was going to miss, and he held some clutch putts coming down the stretch. So I'll post it on socials. It's all about moving a little bit. The other thing was, weirdly, I spoke about Brad Faxon, but I remember Ben Crenshaw mentioning, I always putted my best when my head was moving. Yeah. That's what he used to say.
Yes.
It was phenomenal.
Ridiculous.
But if you ever watch Ben Crenshaw putt, he was always moving around as well, and Faxon was very much the same, and I've always tried to do that with my putting as well.
I know. I've always been a mover when I putted, but sometimes I was a freezer when I was hitting the ball. I would freeze. And I know when I froze when I was hitting the ball, the only thing you can do when you freeze is think.
Yes.
That's all you can do. But when you putt, you know, I was always a reasonable putter, then you just keep yourself active.
Yeah.
And you're not even worried. You're just moving, you're tapping your feet, you're kind of having a bit of a look.
You got it.
You don't actually think. But I know I had to try and fix the freezing over the ball, because you've got nothing else to do. If you're not moving, you can only think. And that's the last thing you want to do when you're playing golf.
Yeah, over the ball anyway.
Nick, are you going to polish off that red wine?
I think Dan and I might have another glass. You're done, aren't you?
No, I've got to go to basketball.
But it is a beautiful drop.
And next week's going to be a big show, because next week is the lead-in pod to
the Australian PGA. Oh, no, the Australian Open. Well, we've got both of them coming up.
We've got 2 weeks in a row here.
And how about this? It's the number 1 and number 2 weeks on the DP World Tour these days. Was last year, is this year. Fantastic to see us hooked up with the DP World Tour. Whoever wins in the next couple of weeks, hopefully, I'm always hopeful anyway, it's a young fella who gets a job on the DP World Tour. Yeah. I would love it. Catch you next week.
All right. Cheers, guys.
Thanks for listening to Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen's podcast, Talk Birdie to Me. And if you're looking for some new gear, Ping is absolute top class. Ping help you play your best. Contact your local golf shop or professional and they'll sort you out. And the Golf Clearance Outlet, who beat everyone's prices. They're in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Perth, and online at golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. Got a favour to ask, wherever you listen, if you get a chance to rate and review the pod, that would be fantastic. And if you subscribe, you'll never miss an episode. Talk Birdie to Me's executive producer is Dan Bradley at Kaizen Media, and sound design is by Daryl Misson at loudzebra.com.
Hmm. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.